Chris Bury and Lauren Cohn in for Big John Howell and Ramblin' Ray. And coming up, great guest, Lauren, we have Chris Whipple, who is the author of a best-selling new book called The Gatekeepers, How the White House Chiefs of Staff Define Every Presidency. And for this book, Chris Whipple interviewed all living White House Chief of Staffs. And if you are interested in the behind-the-scenes stuff, I've read this book. It's just filled with all kinds of great stories.
I like to call them the presidential whisperers.
That's a good way to put it. And Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And, you know, when we look at the Trump administration, we have Reince Priebus is the chief of staff. Yet we've seen all these stories about the power behind the throne, and the puppeteer is Steve Bannon. And lately it looks like he's being pulled back. So after you've interviewed all these chiefs of staff and you look at what's going on in the Trump White House now, what's your take on that?
Well, you know, the Trump White House to me looks like a kid's soccer game, you know, where nobody understands his position, and so everybody's running straight toward the ball. You know, there are no lines of authority. It's not clear that anybody is in charge, and that's a formula for failure. You can't run the White House as though you were running a real estate firm in Manhattan. You know, you can't have five or six or seven people with equal access to the Oval and coming and going. Gerry Ford tried that, you know, after Nixon. It was a disaster. Within a month, he realized he had to change course.
I have a hard time figuring out if it's Reince Priebus or Ivanka Trump as the White
exactly.
House Chief of Staff.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not the first time we've had to deal with family in the White House. Ronald Reagan had, you know, Nancy was famously his personnel director. Michael Deaver, who was the deputy chief, was practically family, and he was also very powerful. And, you know, but James Baker, who was the chief of staff and the gold standard, really, for everybody who followed, he was smart enough, savvy enough to befriend them, make them allies. And so he prevailed when he came under attack from the hard right ideologues.
And one of the points you make in this book, Chris, is that there is always a battle in every White House between the true believers, in this case it would be Steve Bannon, and the pragmatists, the people who just want to get things done. Are we seeing that again in this White House?
Yeah, no, absolutely true. You know, but again, we've seen this movie before, and it does, you know, it can end badly, but it doesn't have to. If you have somebody who's really empowered as a White House chief, a James Baker or a Leon Panetta, and somebody who's been around the block and has that kind of gravitas, you know, they can navigate that. It's not at all clear to me that Priebus can, and B, more importantly, Trump has so far shown no evidence that he's learned the lesson of presidential history, which is you have to empower a chief.
Because you had access to interviewing 17 of these White House chiefs of staff, what can you tell us in terms of a common thread or tidbits that they told you that we haven't learned about their characters that you found interesting?
Well, one thing that the really good ones have in common is they are comfortable in their own skin. They have nothing to prove. Jim Baker was a 50-year-old, smooth as silk, Texas lawyer who could walk into the Oval Office and close the door and tell Ronald Reagan what he didn't want to hear. Leon Panetta could do the same thing with Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton really needed that. I mean, a year and a half into his administration, into his term, he was dead in the water, you know, with Whitewater and Travelgate and all these silly scandals. And Panetta came in and became his second chief of staff, was empowered to really turn that White House around, and he did.
We've got some chiefs of staff from Chicago, most famously our current mayor, Rahm Emanuel, who was the first chief of staff for President Obama. And in your book, there's a story about people really being afraid of Rahm because he was known to break China. As you say, he had the reputation of being the Luca Brasi. And so how did the White House staff deal with Rahm Emanuel
well,
at
know,
first?
Look,
there goes
Rahm
the China
was chosen because he famously, as Leon Panetta put it, Rahm took the hill. And in this case, he took Capitol Hill. He knew the hill so well. And Obama needed somebody like that to get a lot of stuff done. Rahm was tough on the furniture and on the staff. But, you know, the whole profane Luca Brasi thing was a lot of that was for show. You know, I mean, John Favreau, the young speechwriter, At one point, Rahm threw a profanity at him, and Favreau just threw it right back at Rahm, and he said, "We got along great from there on."
Well, that's why the Chicago Tribune's John Cass columnist gave him a picture of, and called him the Rahm father, and he's has that nickname now.
And we had Bill Daley as well, and he was chief of staff later, and he ran into some trouble too, didn't he?
You know, Bill Daley was an awkward fit, and he in that White House, and he ran up against, you know, the younger so-called true believers in the Obama White House. And there's always that tension between the pragmatists, in this case Daley, and the people who think they can change the way Washington works. And so he ran up against that. He had a very tough year from, you know, Gabby Giffords being shot literally as he was arriving, to the Arab Spring, to the failure to get a grand bargain. And at one point, he failed to tell Michelle Obama about somebody having taken a shot at the White House.
So many good things in your book. Chris Whipple, author of the new best-selling book, Gatekeepers, How the White House Chiefs of Staff Define Every Presidency. Chris, thanks so much for coming on our air.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.